Blog Talk Radio.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art called, calling, surely now do not pass me by, and that calling you said, yes, oh blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, sing now, do not pass me by. Now let me at that throne of mercy find some sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition. Help my unbelief, and I'm calling you, say, you're a blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing I do not pass me by, and I'm calling you, say, yeah, oh, yes, say, yeah, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing now, do not pass me by. Thou, the spring of all my comfort, you mean more than life to me. Whom had I on earth beside thee? O Lord, whom in heaven but thee? And I'm calling you, say, yeah, oh, blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing now, do not pass me by, and I'm calling you, Savior, oh, blessed Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, singing now, do not pass me by. Amen, amen. Good to see you, Brother Ernest. Good to see you, Brother Adam. Adam Holly, and others that are coming on at this point in time. God bless you. We are getting back to our normal programming. Our blog talk at 1 o'clock now will be Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Crisis. It picks up off our midday caffeine shop for Christ, and we had a great Bible thing going on, and we're also broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, which is broadcasting all the way in Canada as well as Norway. It's throughout the continent of the United States. So we're just glad to be with you. And we'd like you to call in, like we had a call in line before. We're going to call in. It's not on the conference call, but it's on 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. Yeah, Brother Ernest, we're going to get this going again, Doc. And all of us are going to be able to share a little bit and really reach out to quite a few people. So if you get a chance, call in on 619-924-0767. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our text today. We're going to be looking at Nicodemus in the third chapter of the book of John. Bow with me at this time. Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, it's you we give honor and praise today, thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you for the rain and for the pain, and thanking you for just the character-building opportunity that you present to us. Father, we just thank you to help us to have those antennas to be able to see where we can work and we can show love and we can share in your vineyard. Help us to not commit fratricide, but help us to embrace one another, to have true fellowship with one another, not just a social gathering that we many times see on Sunday mornings and various different types of services where we just do routine or just through ritual, we just gather together based on the fact that we have nothing better to do, like we're at a lodge or something. But Father, let us have true koinonia. Let us have true fellowship, meaning that between you and us, you are the God that binds our hearts together, that there is commonality. So whether we see one another over Skype, on phone, whether we talk to one another, that may be abroad, that we can have an endearing heart. It's just like the fact that you have an army, somebody in the military that may be away, and that I get a chance to call home, and then that parent, especially if they get a chance to take a look at him, eyeball to eyeball through the Skype or whatever, it just does something and gives them a warm feeling, and let them know that they're still supporting. Technology allows us to do that today, Father. Help us to understand that you are a lot more deeper in your ways than many times we look at things, Father. Let's get off the surface. Let's get below the surface, Father, so we can help one another and love one another. We just thank you for this day. I'm thanking you for the Ernest Lynn. Man, it's just him and his mom. We're just always praying for the, Mom Peggy, the Aretha Franklin of the Church of Christ. Aretha is gone, but Mom's still around, and she's still blowing it up for the Lord. And so we ask you to continue to be with her in her health issues, things that she's going with. Father, be with her children. Be with all the work that she has done, her labors, and be with all the work that she is doing. And even as she just continues to spew out wisdom day in and day out through various things and be a great encourager, she's always been to me. Father, we ask you just to continue to strengthen her and bless her where she stands in need of praying for Brother Ernest, his wife, and Central, as well as his daughters. I ask you to be there. I think one of them may still be abroad. I've asked you just to continue to bless them and keep them in whatever capacity that they have, Father. Give them the abundant life. Give them the advantage to be able to go forward and be blessed and be able to be a blessing for other folks. Father, we're praying today for Adam Holly today. Father, I'm asking you to be with Adam and strengthen him in ways that you know he readily stands in need of. Bless him. Be with his family. Be with Mom Sandra Holly and all them, the Holly family, the clan. Father, bless them and strengthen them in ways that you know that they can readily stand in need of, that they will be able to reach out and continue to bless folks. Mom Sandra is the part of the family, and so she gets a chance to do a lot of poetry and use her gift to bless people and to be able to help them to understand how great not only God has created us to be, but how much of a blessing individuals are to one another, sowing our lives together with our gift, where our gift will make room for us. So we're praying for her that she will have many more years of being able to do that and be able to help others to see how great that we are when we are connected to one another. Praying for my wife and all those at City Hall. I ask you to continue to bless them and keep them the way they stand in need of. Father, I'm praying even for the Laquan McDonald trial that's going on right now. Father, I ask you just to be with them, be with the judge, and be with the the jury trial. Because I can't remember if he to the jury or is he just on the bench trial. But we ask you, Father, to continue to bless them in the way they stand in need of. That at the end, justice will pursue. Justice will pursue. And we know that whatever the outcome will be, we know that you have the ultimate say in the end. And so you don't miss a thing, and you don't let nothing slide. So, Father, we ask you to continue to help us in our daily walk. We're praying for the election that's coming up, Father, that we will, we as a country, will make sure that we get out to these general elections and make sure that we vote to use our Commonwealth citizenship accordingly, as it's been asked for us to do. And that we will use our citizenship accordingly to cast the vote for the candidate we believe will be the best to help us in our community. And I pray that we understand that it's not about, when you become a child of God, it's not about Republican, nor is it about Democrat, nor is it about Libertarian, or is it about Independent. But it's about being either a Christian or not. And so, Father, we want to vote with the race of Christianity, that we will, that you will be able to give us the advantage. And we will also be able to function a lot easier in throughout this world based off of those situations. Father, we ask you to continue to bless this word. We're praying for all those that may be coming on that are listening in this time. Praying for those that are helping our jewelry ministry. We're just thanking you, Father, for who you are and what you do. Praying for my family in general. And, Father, we just want to have just a blanket prayer for all the hotel workers right now, Father, who are striking based on the fact that they don't have health insurance in a certain part of the year. And all the hotels, they have them out front with picket signs and beating pots and pans and making noise and blowing whistles. And they're just marching around like they're marching to Pretoria, just wanting people to know, and it's out of his plan of business about out in front of almost every major hotel, Father. We're praying that the unions will come to the table, and they will come back to the table and be able to negotiate the situation. Because some of those folks, even though they have limited hours, and I understand it's probably an HR issue, also have children that have to have either special care or have to have insurance throughout the course of the year. And some of them do not make enough to be able to handle those situations. So, Father, we just love you. We adore you even on this day. Praying for the homeless, praying for those that are less fortunate, praying for those that don't have an opportunity to know you and the pardon of their sin. We know that time will come. Father, this is our prayer today in Jesus' holy and divine name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Nicodemus, we take a look at the third chapter of the book of John. And as we look, I love John's book because it's such an intimate book. It's much different, even though it's one of the four gospels, one of the four biographies of the New Testament. And we have to remember, even though it's presented in the New Testament, it's still centered under Mosaic law until Jesus dies on the cross. So there is a dispensational change that takes place at the cross on Golgotha Hill, where the hottest point of day, it becomes dark. There's an earthquake that takes place. The veil is torn. All kinds of things going on. The centurion looks up and he says, "Certainly, this is the Son of God." There is a dispensational change from the Mosaic Jewish dispensation to now the law of Christian dispensation with the law of grace and truth. And so, as Jesus is in his ministry, as he's teaching, and abundant people are around listening and coming and following, here we have one of the Pharisees that know the scriptures, know the Septuagint very well, but they always like to stand on the street corner and do things in grandiose situations so people can see them. They know if they just had an inferiority complex problem or they just needed a pat on the back every once in a while. Sounded like they just needed a real big hug. But what we look at here is when people are constantly looking for attention, sometimes that's narcissistic. So we have to understand. Good to see you, Mom Faith. Good to see you, Ferdinand. And so we have to understand once again, Joanne Caldwell, good to see you today. We just have to understand, we're in the third chapter of the book of John, that many times we don't have to do things for attention. And if you have a question, the best thing to do is not to pull around or run around everybody else, but go directly to the source. That's what I like so much about Nicodemus. Nicodemus wasn't just anybody. He was somebody of stature. He was a teacher of the Jewish law. He understood some things, but more so than that, he knew who Jesus was. Now, they made the Pharisee, and he made it clear that the Pharisee knew who Jesus was, that he was from God, because no one could do those things. We'll see this in the text, right? But the thing is that they didn't want the other people to know that this was the Messiah. You ever had folks in that situation? You know that you are the person, or you know that you have an identity of who the individual is going to be that's going to do a specific task or a specific work, but yet you want to throw a curveball, a knuckleball, right, a slider. You want to be slick, right, and you don't want to be transparent and letting everyone know why, because it may make you look a little less than what you have been. It may strike that your teaching has changed and that there may be a new sheriff in town. And so what that means is you no longer have the influence over folks that you once had. Let's take a look at this text and let's see a little deeper as to what's going on. The Bible says in the third chapter, and I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and you read from your translation. The Bible says there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, we know the man's name. We know he was from the Pharisees, which was that group that really understood them and the Sadducees, but they always was at the foot of Jesus. They was always not there to hear him, but they was always picking at him. You ever had somebody always picking at you, always trying to break you down, always trying to heckle you, trying to discredit you, trying to knock you out of position? That's what they had. Here are the Pharisees. So here's a man of the Pharisees. Good to see you, Big Joe, who just got online. There's a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, what do we know about him? He's a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. Let's pause there for a moment. Why did Nick come at night? Why is this Nick at night? Well, I don't thumb him down based on the fact of what his occupation was. He was a teacher, and many teachers call all day. And many teachers had a very busy schedule throughout the course of the day. Could he have taken some time off during the day? I don't know. But I'm not going to just thumb him down because he came at night, because what he did, in spite of what it was, he made sure he got to Jesus. And he wanted to talk to Jesus. Even as a Pharisee, he wanted to talk to the man that could help him understand what they have had problem with. See, sometimes we don't go to the right source. We'll go to somebody around them because we're either too arrogant or we want to throw a rock and hide our hand. We don't want folks to really know. But after you put together a reputation or a track record, everyone knows that you keeping up some mess. Everyone knows that maybe you sowing discord. That's why it's better to back up sometimes. Get out of the fray of things. Based on the fact that folks don't always appreciate what they have in front of them. Good to see my sister Belinda on today. God bless you, sis, and the entire Dawson family. How's it, how's Pop doing? JD, type in if you would, and be good to know. Let him know. Love him, and looking forward to hollering at him sometime. But here in the third chapter of the book of John, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a man in position, a teacher, had influence that he did not have what Jesus had. Did you hear me? I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how studied you are. I don't care if you can quote from top to bottom every scripture in the Bible and then say it backwards if you like. From Genesis to Revelation, from Revelation to Genesis, you may even start to quote scriptures in arpeggios. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, right? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. You may choose to do different things in your learning capacity because we all learn differently. You may be a kinetic learner. You may be an oral learner. However it is, but there is a teacher that had influence over a flock of people that came to hear him, help them to understand some things. And he was humble enough or put in position to go and talk to Jesus because they couldn't understand some things. Look at the text. He says, man came in the night and said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. So we understand that. We're clear on that. We may have questioned it at first, but now we're clear on that. The Pharisees are not questioning this any longer. Good to see you, Dwayne Carter. It's so crystal clear to them that Jesus is a teacher from God. Now, why is it that you say that? What's so different about Jesus' teaching that's maybe even different from yours specifically that you now know? There's no question that he is a man of God. Well, let's keep reading. We know that you are that you have come from God as a teacher. Why? For our cause, no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. So when Jesus put a little gravy on top of the potatoes, he not only taught, but he also did miracles or signs that were not humanly possible so that people would believe. So I'm not just flipping the script. I'm not just telling you this is all God's perspective and I'm coming from first person position versus third person position. But I'm also I'm healing the blind. I'm giving sight to the blind. I'm healing the sick. I'm doing miraculous things. And it cannot be questioned. It's not even viewed, look at it in the text, it's not even viewed as sorcery or hocus pocus. It ain't, there's no falsery or temporariness in it. They know. They're crystal clear. They know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus has come from God. Amen, somebody. They never wanted to admit this. As a matter of fact, they don't stand up front and tell nobody else this. Creeping around at night. Well, I'm just going to say both Jesus was teaching during the day and they was teaching during the day. So I'm going to give Nick the benefit of the doubt. That busy schedules didn't make it possible for him to get there by day. And I'm going to say it was a good thing he was this, he still came. Don't remain somewhat positive in this because he still needs information. And what I want you to know is God don't matter what time you come to God, morning, noon, or night, God's going to give you the truth. You're going to get great answers and you're going to understand God's way of doing it. He says, no one. We know no one. None of our Pharisees, none of the high priests, no one in all the land, none of the Chaldeans, no one could perform these signs. that you perform, unless God were with it. It took the signs for them to see who Jesus was. See that? It took the miracles for them to believe who Jesus was. Yet it didn't stop them from killing it. Folks know the truth, but they don't want the truth to free other people. Nicodemus, a ruler, came to Jesus and very eloquently, an educated teacher made it crystal clear that we're no longer in doubt. We know who you are based off what you do. Now, there's something there that we can learn from Christ. Even on a daily basis, you ain't got to tell people who you are or what you represent. You just continue to do, and people will see your faith on what you're connected to accordingly. Case in point. If you have a favorite color, many times you have some outerwear clothing or something that portrays the other that this is one, this is your color. If you're a lady, you may have your nails painted that color. If you're a brother, you may go out and buy a suit that color. People know some things about you without you opening your mouth. So we need to understand that it's so important to know who Jesus is. And I'm so glad. I'm glad about it today. I'm so glad that there is no confusion to the Pharisees. Because when they receive judgment, it'll be based on the fact that they knew and they wasn't in doubt. So God will allow us to be ignorant in order for us to not know. Good to see you, Sister Zane. God will have us be ignorant in order for us to know. We're in the third chapter of the book of John, talking about Nicodemus. God wants you to be quite informed. And he dispatched the number one informant from heaven, his only begotten son, Mono Genesis, the best he had, he gave to us to die for us. Isn't that something to think about? No one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. So not only are they clear on who Jesus is, they also know the link between Jesus and God the Father. They're clear. The question is, are you? So many people in today are not crystal clear as to who Jesus is. He's God's son. He's God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. God didn't leave us alone. And then when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, which is the third member of the Godhead. God with us. His omnipresence. And to Cornelia continues to sew us together as we understand his heart. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus just took a Louisville slug and hit a home run. Nicodemus did not yet ask the question. But it goes to show you that God knows what you're thinking before you thunk it. Now, that ain't good speaking, but that's good preaching. God knows. Sister Mary Spicer, God bless you. Good to see you today. John chapter 3, dealing with Nicodemus. God knows what you think. God knows how you feel. Matter of fact, God knows what you're going to say out your mouth. So God can read. He can read. He has infrared vision to read the temporal lobes of your brain. That's where you make your decisions at. So God sees that the information comes in and it computes, and then it's getting ready to send out signals, tells your arm to lift, and tells your mouth to speak, tells you what you're thinking and whatsoever else, and computes it into action. God knows this. So he knows Nicodemus didn't just come for no reason. He knows Nick was not just there because he had nothing better to do. He was really baffled. Where's the rest of the Pharisees? They sent a representative. He doesn't say that he sent a representative. He came on his own. Something to know. But Jesus beat him to the punch. Notice what he says. Let's go back to verse 2. This man came during the night and said, Rabbi, a teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. You come to train. You come to inform. You come to lift up. You come to raise our level of understanding. We know you've come from God with the message of God. For no one can perform the signs you do unless God were with you. Yes, Sister Zane, it's something to think about. It's something to think about because we all make decisions. We all have things that we're talking about. We all have things, plans that we want to do. But have you consulted with God first? He knows what you want to do. But is your plans pleasing with God? So he already tells them, Jesus knowing he's coming to die. He knows that the Pharisees are hot on his trail all the time. But here's a Pharisee that has broke away, that he has a chance to get some information to. And Jesus hits the home run with a Louisville slugger. I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus, did you just tell this Pharisee that he's blind? That night that he comes to you, but that it don't matter if he has 20/20 vision, he does not have the perception of what the kingdom of God is. And that's the problem with the world today. We don't truly understand what the kingdom is all about. We know that they're the King of Kings, but do we know the mandates? Do we understand his commands? Do we know what he told us so that we all will be on one accord? Do we understand that he prayed for unity? And we want to fight him. And backbite one another. Shows that our faith is not where it needs to be. And it doesn't matter how big you are. Here's a teacher from Israel that did not understand. Again, I'd like you to call in because I'm going to ask you for some comments here in a minute. Call in to 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. I see you, Mary, down there in Denver. Give us a call in, 619-924-0767. I'll be releasing the line in a minute. so that we can hear your commentary and talk about this thing. But Jesus says, let me set the record straight. Unless someone's born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. So it tells me that Jesus knew the teaching. And because the Jews felt that they were God's only people, and according to the Old Testament, that Israel were God's favorite people. But now after Jesus had to send them, after what God had to send them through the Babylonian captivity, through the Persian captivity, right? Through the Grecian captivity, and now under the Roman Empire. We see right here that it's interesting to know that Jesus says, your teaching is good, but your teaching is off. You know nothing about being born again. And if you're not born again, you can't even perceive what God's mind is about the kingdom. Now look at what Nicodemus says. From how can anyone be born when he is old? Now teachers weren't young. They were of age, usually bearded guys or bearded, you know, and they had been in and out whatsoever else. And can you come with a penny ante answer, a penny ante question to $1 million response? How can you or anyone be born again when he is old? Nicodemus, from a physical nature, is seeing the birthing cycle, seeing how big people grow. It's good to see Roy Macon, and good to see Judith Brown, and also just how people are progressing and knowing that from a baby inside the mother's womb, so now you have got, you're just too big. And there's no way in the world you could, if she wouldn't want you back up in there. If it was humanly possible, after 9 months, I can't wait for the travail to end. Born again. What are you talking about, Jesus? See, it goes to show you that they're on two different wavelengths. It goes to show you by the response. If that has nothing to do with your outward wear, has nothing to do with how pop you are, don't have nothing to do with how many degrees you got. You can still ask the dumb question. But ain't no dumb question to Jesus. Jesus gave him a response before the question came out. See, when he knows what you're thinking, he can beat you to the punch. Jesus says, I assure you, someone, if someone is born again, they cannot see. Unless someone's born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes, and the phone number is 619-924-0767. Let me type it in. 619-924-0767. Want to hear from you. We'll release the line in a minute. I'll call myself typing in. I don't see it. That's all right. 619-924-0767. Call, you can call in right now. You'll be on hold there. You'll hear the message as well as being able to see it on Facebook. Listen to it. But then, When I release you off of mute, then we'll all be able to hear your response. Nicodemus is sizing it up from a physical nature. How can I get back in my mother's womb? So you understand the importance of growth in the womb of what's been provided for them to grow. But the issue is this. Then when you type it in so that others can see it, because I'm having a problem on this end. 619 9924-0767. Thank you so very much. Nicodemus says, how can one be born again when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Born again, he only understands birthing one way. But Jesus said, you must be born again. How can you be born again? Hence Jesus with a very liturgical question. Do I not even back in my mother's womb for birthing to take place? That can't happen physiologically. It makes no sense. So really what he's saying is, what are you talking about? Look at how Jesus answers. The first time Jesus said, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now after Nicodemus asked the question about signs, he says, Jesus answers, I assure you, here it is. Thank you, Zane. That's the number right there, you guys. Call in if you would. I'll be able to see you on the leaderboard here. See Big Joe on there, and see some others on there as well. Unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, Jesus, you just give me another twist. First, you talk about perception and sight and goal and being able to stay focused in mind. Now you're talking about access and doorway and gateway into. You have stepped up your game. Next time you come to Badger, hit it over the fence again. I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, notice the birthing process. It has nothing to do with the mother's womb. It has to do with the water and the Spirit. He says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh, Nicodemus, is flesh. And whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We pause there for a word because there's a fleshly birth and then there's a spiritual birth. Jesus couldn't even talk to you unless you already had been through a fleshly birth. So he's not even trying to rehash that process that was put in place back in Genesis 1 when he made Eve the mother of all living. He was a word then, and the word became flesh, John 1:14, for those that don't understand. But here he's saying that you can be born spiritually, and that you must be born spiritually in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now notice what he says. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. Jesus, hold on, man, I'm a teacher. You're telling me that I must be born again? I'm quoting scriptures, I'm teaching the book, I'm helping. You're telling me that's not enough? But what I'm telling you is that you must follow the process. To be born spiritually requires water and Holy Spirit. So don't be shocked that I told you that you must be born again. He's talking to Nicodemus, but he's really talking to the Pharisees. And he's talking to all of us. Because I want to tell you, all the Pharisees ain't dead. You got some Pharisees in mental mind even today. You must be born again. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where pleases. And you hear it sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. Amen, somebody. Thank you for sharing the video. Others share as much as possible so as the word gets out to others. Understand, he says, you must be born of water and spirit. And the reason you don't understand is because spirit is wind. You don't see where it comes from. You don't see that process. It has, you don't control it. But it still functions. And it is critical for entrance into the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, because you can't see it, that's not your process. It grows where it pleases. You hear it? We've all heard the whistling sound of the wind. You know there's some dust caught up in it. You can't even see the direction it's going. But you hear it. But you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Like wind, you don't know how this works. Like wind, you have no clue how this works. They're called Nicodemus. He will finally come clean to Jesus. How can these things be? As Nicodemus. Finally, we're at the table. Finally, you have my undivided attention. Finally, I recognize you told me I'm not going again, but how can this even be possible? See, unless you recognize that you're not what he is, you'll never ask the question, what do I need to do? Or what is the process? He says, how can these things be? And Jesus takes the same Louisville slugger that he just hit two home runs with, and now he hits Nicodemus between the eyes. Are you a teacher of Israel? The answer to that is yes. But he says he doesn't leave it there because just like Schoolhouse Rock, conjunction, junction, what's my function? He puts the and connecting it there. So not only is the significance of teacher Israel, this is how you teach to Israel and don't know these things. See, there's a problem when the teacher can't really help you get to heaven. Oh, they can tell you some flowery things. They can teach the scripture. They know how far the atmosphere is. They know all this great stuff, how high an evergreen tree is and grows and whatsoever else. But if they can't help you get to where you need to be and meet your goal, because they can't even see it, how can they help you enter? See, what you say, what you see, is what you say. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you believe. What you believe is what you sow. What you sow is what you reap. What you reap is what you get. And what you get is what you deserve. So, if you can't even see it, how are you going to lead somebody to it? I don't care how you teach. Stevie Wonder is driving the car. When you're a teacher, you don't know these things. I love me some Stevie Music, Songs of the Kid Life, one of his best albums. Just using it as an analogy. It has nothing to do with his talent. Ray Charles, the late Ray Charles, is not driving this car. When you don't know that. Just so you can kind of see what it is. You are a blind teacher. and the blind cannot lead the blind. Notice what he says. Thank you, Zane. I forgot to get the water flag out here. I'm already off to the races. That's why I have to make it through it. I appreciate that, though. Pray for me. I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. And whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. Right? The wind blows where it pleases and you hear it sound, and but you don't know where it's coming from, nor where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Jesus says, are you a teacher from Israel and don't know these things? I assure you, third time in the text, when he tells you, I truly, truly, verily, verily, I'm confidently letting you know without a shadow of a doubt. I assure you, we speak what we know. And we testify to what we have seen. But you, Jesus is showing distinction now, differences in your teaching, but you do not accept our testimony. If I have told you about things that happened on earth, and you don't believe, how would you believe if I tell you about things of heaven? Now he's really clarified what he means by seeing. If you can't understand the basics, if you don't know the vocabulary of English and A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, Z, T, U, Z, W, S, Y, and Z, if you don't know the alphabet, how are you going to spell words putting them together? Williams, when he's telling you, you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't direct nobody where you've never been. See, we know. And we testify. See, this is pause right there. What you stand on, what you speak on, is based off of what you already know. Don't be trying to talk about something you don't know about. We know and we testify to what we have seen, witnessed, our witness. But you do not accept our testimony. You've thrown it out. As in a court of law, where they get the discovery and they don't want that, the evidence is so crystal clear, they want it gone. So the prosecution is putting it up, and the defense wants to make sure that it's not there, so they ask the judge to just throw it out. You don't accept eyewitness testimony. You don't accept truth. If I have told you about things that happen on earth and you don't believe, how are you going to believe if I tell you about things of heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Why did Jesus come? So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That's crystal clear, folks. Unless you believe in Jesus, you cannot have eternal life with God. That's why you cannot have an Antichrist spirit. You must know that he is the Son of Man. You must know that he is the Son of God. He's the one that came from heaven, that descended from heaven and ascends to heaven, right? And unless you believe in him, you won't have eternal life. My brother Keith Richardson, good to see you, Doc. And then the most quoted scripture outside of Psalms 23 and probably John 14, 1 through 6 of the entire Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me read it from this translation. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his own, his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It was God who gave mankind a gift. And the problem is, you don't want to receive the gifts. What is the gift, preacher? I'm so glad you asked that question. The gift is Jesus. God gave us a gift. And it did not have to even be your birthday. He gave you a just because gift. But it came on contingency of belief in him, acceptance of him, in order to have eternal life with him. Someone gives you a gift. You know how we are. When we get a little bougie, get a little uppity, turn up our nose, we not even thank you. Put it to the side, give it to somebody else, feed it to the dog. We don't appreciate the gift. And that's what's happening in religion today. Satan has done a great job of blinding the eyes of man, even through religion, that they don't accept the gift given to us by God. But the Bible says, for God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him, God's Son, the one and only Son, will not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Isn't that simple? That's right, Zane. Except you receive the gift from heaven, which is Jesus. Now look, it's a powerful thing. Because Nicodemus is already sitting there looking like a wet puppy. Jesus went to her once, then he's taking that same bag and he's hitting between the eyes and said, what kind of a teacher are you that don't understand? Then he gives him the answers because he's intelligent enough to take it in. And now, he says, God's given a gift that you won't even accept. You're worshiping a God and you won't accept the gift God has given to you. Why are you missing out on your blessings? That's why you have a sight problem. You don't understand spiritual things. He's something else. He says, but that the world might be saved. Look at this. I'll go back to 16 and read into 17. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone, I don't care what your background is, if you're Muslim, you got to accept Jesus. If you're Buddhist, you must accept Jesus. Come on now. If you're denominational, you must accept Jesus. God don't deal ruling division. Right? If you have Shia, you must accept Jesus. If you have Taoist, you must accept Jesus. I can do a roll call. Right? If you're Hindu, you must accept Jesus. All of Eastern religions, you must accept Jesus. Then come on home. If you're Baptist, you must accept Jesus. If you're Methodist, you must accept Jesus. If you're Catholic, you must accept Jesus. Come on in, huh? If you're Lutheran, you must accept Jesus. You call him. You must accept Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's God's only and the only one and one and only son that comes from heaven and ascends to heaven. Everyone, every single person, every individual, you might as well use the word all. What percentage is not at all? 0%. Good to see you, Sister Lopez. We're dealing with the third chapter of the book of John, Nicodemus. God loved the world. For God so loved the world, what? He loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only son. So that everyone, I don't care if you're black, black lives matter. I don't care if you're white, white lives matter. I don't care if you're Asian. Asian lives matter. I don't care if you're Chinese. Chinese lives matter. I don't care if you're Hispanic. Hispanic lives matter. All lives matter. Don't matter what your distinction is. Everyone. I don't care if you're fat. Fat lives matter. I don't care if you're thin. Thin lives matter. I don't care if you're gray. Gray lives matter. Don't matter if you're bald. Bald lives matter. Don't matter if you're young or old. Everyone must accept Jesus. Why? He's the one and only son from God. The word is monogenesis. The only begotten son. There's no one like him, and there'll never be anyone like him. If you're in the nation of Islam, you must accept Jesus. If you're just Islamic or Muslim, you must accept Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. For God loved this world. That he gave us a gift. He gave his only, his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. Look at verse 17. For God did not send Jesus, his son, the one and only son, into the world that he might condemn the world. Jesus did not come this time on judgment. He's a gift. But that the world might be saved through him. The condition of the world did not have, so now God sends him so that we can be put back in order. Question. Personal question. Will you receive Jesus today? If you've already received, will you work on a deep relationship with Jesus today? Don't be surface like Nicodemus asking two-cent questions. Well, you ain't even got change for a dime. But Jesus gives you the million dollar answer before you answer the question. So now all you have to do is just, the question is, how do I get into water and spirit? But he has not asked that question. And many of us are going through life. Amen. And many of us are going through life not understanding. For God did not send his son into the world, but he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned. We'll put a pin right there. It is very dangerous to have an antichrist spirit, because condemnation or damnation will be your friend. Verse 18, anyone who believes in Jesus is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Not only must you believe that Jesus is Son, not only must you believe that Jesus is the Son of Man, not only must you believe that Jesus is the one that ascended and descended from heaven, but you now also must believe in the power of the name of Jesus. That's why being a Christian is so critical. Because you say, Christ, I am light. And it don't make sense for you to wear a name that don't fit who you are. That's mistaken identity. God is love. And you want to run through this world of hate. Haters should make lovers greater. Wake up. Amen. Jesus is the way. Listen here. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. Look at the blessing. We talked about seeing. We talked about entering. It's based off of belief. What you see is what you say. It's how you speak. What you say is what you believe. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you not condemned? And a great prognosticator, Neil Lopez, in a powerful sabbatical, writes online with us today. I'll never forget it. He had the best illustration I had ever so far come up with on what belief, the difference between belief and trust is. He says, belief is getting on a tightrope and pushing a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls. You're walking on the tightrope, pushing a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls. That's belief that you're going to make it over there. The only thing about that Niagara Falls, and you won't get on a tightrope and go across it. He said that's belief, to have the intestinal fortitude and have the ingenuity and the focus, and know that you have the time that you can walk across, pushing a wheelbarrow, a tightrope, right, across Niagara Falls. That's belief. But trust is different than belief. And this is the analogy that he gave, and I'll never forget it. He says trust is more than belief. Remember, belief is taking and you are pushing the wheelbarrow across the tightrope to get to the other side of the Niagara Falls. He said, but trust is you getting in the wheelbarrow, allowing God to push you without your own power, across the tightrope, across the Niagara Falls to get to the other side. I'll never forget it. I heard that probably 7 years ago. I still remember it as if it was yesterday. Because that shows the disparity and the difference between letting people believe by a fit where they don't trust. You may believe Jesus, but do you really trust him? If you trust him, you let him move you. rather than you move yourself. But man, this won't get in the wheelbarrow because of fear. Fear is not of God. Reverence belongs to God. It's something that is conjured up by Satan. But God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus this gift. He's a gift to the world. Forever and believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But God did not send his son to the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe in him is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This man is the judgment. The light has come into the world, that's Jesus, and people loved darkness rather than the light. You wouldn't receive the gift. You're in dark. You're in darkness. If you don't receive Jesus, God says you're in darkness. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But everyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Are you hiding? Are you nocturnal? Or are you coming to the light as he is in the light? To have fellowship, pointing near one with another. Jesus is the way, he's the truth and the life. And no man come unto the Father but by him. Let's go to the line at this point in time, and let's get a response from those who may be on. Again, call in if you can, 619-924-0767. We'd love to hear what you have to say about the lesson today. Big Joe, how you doing, Doc? Big Joe. You there, Big Joe?
Hey, man. What's up?
How are you doing, Doc?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I had to buzz off for a minute because I had to take another call, but I'm here. I got a lot of it.
All right. Well, you give us a little insight on what you got from it.
Man, you know, it's just the thing. Just, you know, I think me and you talked about this. You're gonna suffer regardless of you believe in God or not. You know, I guess, I don't know, maybe you believe in God and maybe an easier way to suffer, but you're going to suffer. It ain't no easy way to suffer, period. But, you know, you're gonna suffer no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
So you guys got to bear your cross and come along, you know, because other than that, you're just going to be, you just joking, you know what I mean? This is real. I thank the Lord for being where I have in my life, my brother, you, that will call me and let me know I can get this information. Now, I don't know many people that it ain't like a bunch of phones lit up on the street. You know what I'm saying? I pass it on as much as I can, but see, I'm holding on to this like like I never held on to anything. You know what I mean? This means the world to me. And to have I feel so blessed that I can, like I can say, man, let me tell you something. I got a brother that calls me and I connect with God no different from me getting on my knees and praying. I totally connect with God. I got that. Would you like to be part of it? Or, you know, other than that, I'm feeling good. I feel like a kid with brand new toys on Christmas.
Yeah, you know how it is. Well, you're in anticipation and you can't wait until 6 o'clock or whatever the time is, and you run down there and you bust it open, you're in anticipation. Can't wait for
mm-hmm.
it. You have to have that kind of spirit. You have to have that kind of spirit when it comes to God. Amen. Thank you, Big Joe.
Amen.
Let's go to the lines. Back to my hometown, Des Moines, Iowa. Amen. Let's see who we got on here. Amen. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Who is this? Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Zane.
That's what I thought, but I don't want to guess. So. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing good. I just had a call from my brother, and he seems to be pulling out of it, out of his depression. Thank you to God and Jesus. Working on him like crazy. And, yeah, so I just got to be vigilant and just keep an eye on him because he really got down when Joel died, and it was his twin, and he feels like part of him died, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
You know, but we can put one foot in front of the other and continue to you know, by depend on God to make it through. And
thank God
he's got a sister like you that's a praying sister that's helping him through this process.
Yes, sir. That's true. Yeah.
Any comments from the lesson today?
I really every time I hear you speak, you just give me I feel the spirit, and I get chills like crazy, and everything that you're saying, I hope that everyone can hear it and feel that power, because he is power, and he can do things in mighty ways. Yes, I did get a lot from it. I get a lot from everything that you say.
I certainly appreciate it.
World is a big circle. Because back when I met your mother, your mother, didn't know that it was your mother. I was in a relationship with a guy who was doing crack all the time, and his mother was doing crack all the time. You know, and now it's full circle. I'm back to the person I went to high school with and graduated. Isn't that
That's
something?
Right.
That's how
it
God
is.
Works.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's good to hear from
you.
You
don't even see
it's
the connection, and God still has the connection there. That's right.
Yep. It's good to see you. It's real
good to
see
you as well.
It's good. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll let somebody else talk. I'm going to go visit a lady who has had MS for about 30 years, still kicking it. And so, Peggy Sue. Her name's Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue. Okay, we'll keep Peggy Sue in prayer.
So I just try to go out and just spread it as much as I can. You know, people don't want to accept it, but you can sneak stuff in your conversation.
Yeah.
And you know what? That might plant a seed. And
that's what we have to do. Yeah, our job is not to be a part of the conversion. We let God do that, but we plant one plant, one water, and God gets the increase. So
we're just so
thankful for that. Amen.
God bless you.
Well, thank you for calling in, Zane. Appreciate you. And now I recognize the number next time you call through.
Yeah, I changed my name. In school, it was spelled Fuzaine. The reason I did that, changed it, is because nobody could say Suzanne. So, Zane's a lot easier. It sounds cooler, too.
just don't call me late for dinner, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Amen.
You have a good day.
Appreciate you so much. We'll be back on tomorrow at the same time, at 1 o'clock. All right.
God bless.
Good to see you, Brother Willie Gray. All right. Good to see Brother Willie Gray with us as well. We've been dealing with John chapter 3. Probably have to go back through and take a look at it. But I want you guys to do something for someone that they can't repay you for, giving Jesus Christ and him crucified. Any questions about what we teach, hit me up. Give me a call or hit me up on the line on Facebook, and we'll I won't take nothing back, but I'll put a little more gravy on top of the potatoes. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you in the name of the Lord. We'll talk to you
Amen.
Soon. Have a good time. Amen.
Yes, sir.